Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, thank you so much. Hello, everybody. We welcome you back to Close Up Talk Radio. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to dip into the world of coaching today with a highly accomplished coach. Coaches can be so helpful to people in almost every aspect of their life, whether, you know, there's a coach who'll help you in your business career, in your family life, or whatever. It's become really a huge profession over the last, the last 10 years or so, although coaches have been around at least for 25 years. But I love talking to coaches because I learn from them, and I love talking to them to find out their past. It's always interesting to know what made someone decide to take that road and become a coach, because often they bring extraordinary careers along with them to help them. And in turn, that helps the people that they're working with. Anyway, you know, coaches lead teams an awful lot. That's very most important, obviously, of course. And leading a team is the most time-consuming and challenging part of business because it takes time to understand what motivates every member of that team. Some leaders, of course, spend all their time making sure that people are following them, but that's not leadership. The people you lead have to feel they have a voice in the room and they are clear on both the purpose and the role they play in bringing that vision to life. That is very important. Our guest today is Scott Brittingham. He's an executive coach and he's the founder of Brittingham Executive Consultants, where he helps executives become true, authentic leaders, the kind of person and leader they want to be. He says he's always found great satisfaction in giving back, and he's had a lot of amazing opportunities, so he felt a responsibility to a little kind of share his background and his knowledge and his experience to help others grow and develop. For example, he spent 28 years as an HR generalist with two very large multinational companies, Unilever for 11 years, and most recently, 17 years with L'Oreal, USA. And while he was with L'Oreal, L'Oreal put all of the HR leads through executive coaching training. And he thinks that the purpose was to give the HR leaders a different mindset in terms of how they approach their client group, more from a coaching perspective. And that's when the light went off. It was a completely different skill set from what he did as an executive. So he decided to become a coach. He eventually, retired from the corporate arena and launched Brittingham Executive Consultants in 2019, and it's dedicated to helping executives and their organizations balance business with the human side of things. He leverages his strong business knowledge as well as his HR experience to work with executives who have moved into roles of significant responsibility and bigger scope, as well as leaders seeking to build their own executive presence. It's really an amazing background that Scott brings to the table. I could tell you a lot more about him, but I think it's much more interesting to hear from the coach himself. His name again is Scott Brittingham. Scott's located in New York, Chichester, New York. I love that name. I've heard of it. I couldn't tell you where it is right now. Scott will tell us. Scott, good morning. Nice to have you with us today. Where is Chichester? I know the name, but I don't know where it is. Where is it?
Good morning, Doug. It's great to be here. Chichester is actually in the Catskills. We're about 15 minutes west of Woodstock and just north of Phoenicia. So we're up here in the mountains.
Sounds great. It's a nice place to live. Do you love it there?
It is beautiful. We lived in the city when I was working with L'Oreal. And we'd come up here every weekend, and then when I retired, we decided we're going to move up here full time, and that's what we've done. So it's been great.
Well, let's talk a little bit. I told you a little before we went on the air that I was going to get you to explain a little bit about your background. I mean, you really have a remarkable background that you bring to the table. Let's talk a little briefly about what you have done, so we understand where you're coming from when you became a coach. What was your path? How would you describe it?
So my career path was really what I would call an untraditional one. I grew up in Maryland, and I wanted always from when I youngest I can remember, I always wanted to be an actor. And much to my parents' dismay, I finally wore them down to allow me to pursue my dream. And so I moved to California when I was 19 and spent 9 years in Los Angeles. And the last 3 years that I was there, I actually made my living as an actor, which is a lot of, for many actors, it's something that they can't say. So I feel very accomplished that I was able to live my dream. But what I found was, while I loved the creative piece, what I really fell in love with was the business. And I loved the dynamics of the business. And I moved back to New York in 89 and, you know, went to work in the corporate world, mostly in the beauty industry, which is very much like the entertainment industry in that it's very creative and there's a lot of creative people. And I found that that was really my sweet spot in terms of, you know, working in the corporate world as an HR professional. And my 17 years at L'Oreal were really an amazing ride for me. It was a great experience. The company was fantastic to me, and I grew, and they developed me, and they challenged me. And the thing that I loved about HR at L'Oreal is you truly are a business partner there, and they expect you to know the business and then to leverage your HR expertise, which was, of course, right up my alley. And not only did I learn a lot about the business at L'Oreal, but I also learned about myself as a leader. And in 2016, as you mentioned, they put all the HR leads through executive coaching training, and that's when I really was like, wow, this is the next sort of step for me. I love giving back. I feel like, as I said, I've had a great journey. And to be able to help executives and to help, senior people, you know, achieve what they can as a leader and really help, you know, shift the marketplace and the business, you know, landscape. Because leaders, in terms of, you know, how they develop their people and how they, you know, expand their you know, intellect as it relates to how they engage their teams is just, it's so important, particularly in these days and these times and the recent situation that we've just come through. It's even more important than it ever was. So it's been a great experience, and I love what I do.
Well, it's interesting. You were a leader yourself before you got into the coaching aspect of it. I presume that when HR, you know, put you through executive coaching training, that was really the opened your eyes to this world of coaching. What about yourself as a leader? How would you describe yourself as a leader? Were you a strong leader?
So for me, you know, listen, I think, you know, I always feel that you have opportunities to improve and continue to develop. So I did put a lot of focus as a leader on the development of my team. You know, I wanted to create that space for them to be able to grow and to develop and achieve what their desires were. You know, I, like everyone, had opportunities. I feel like I was able to learn how to understand what motivated and drove them. To be able to support them and to create that environment for them to, you know, grow and to test and to what I call a little bit of a area to have a safe failure, where if they, you know, as we know, you learn more from your failures than your successes, but to allow them to grow and develop. So for me, you know, I feel like the feedback that I got was that from a leadership standpoint, I did bring a lot to it. So, you know, I'm proud of what I accomplished there.
Well, that's great. That's really great. Well, let's talk about your executive coaching. Obviously, you were doing that when you were at L'Oreal. You worked with teams there. But now that you're an independent coach and you're in the Catskills, you know, that probably during the last year and a half, during the pandemic, it really made no difference where you were. I'm sure you probably worked with people remotely for the most part by telephone or Zoom or whatever. Am I right?
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. And to be fair, we actually split our time between the Catskills and California. Half my clients are actually in Southern California, and we have a home in Palm Springs, and we also, you know, I have clients here in New York, so I can, and to your point, we can manage it anywhere, you know, wherever they may be located, you know, with technology, we can do a lot of things, so.
I guess what I was going to ask you, do you find it equally as good working with someone remotely as you do working with them, you know, sitting across the table from you and talking to them?
There's no replacement for, you know, face-to-face. You know, understanding, you know, the nuances and body language and dynamics and that connection, even through the pandemic, you know, there, now that things have started to relax, there were clients that I started to work with and never physically met. And I'm starting to try to, you know, see if I can connect with them in person, you know, it just because it's just, it helps just solidify the experience, you know. So I think it's much more effective if you can do it in person to do it in person than certainly over Zoom or Teams or anything like that.
Primarily, do you work with I know you work with individuals and you work with teams. Those are the two categories primarily. Let's talk about individual coaching, and then we'll talk about team coaching, okay?
Sure.
I'm interested in the kind – when people come to you for help, number one, what do you think they're looking for? I've always felt it takes a lot of courage to pick up the phone and call somebody and say, look, I need help. Things aren't going the way I want them to go, and I wonder if you'd take me on as a client or, you know, something like that. In any event, they open the door with you. Tell me a little bit about what happens. How do you begin a process with somebody who's come to you for help in the executive coaching category?
Yeah, so typically I'm actually brought in by the organization. I've not done individual coaching where somebody has reached out to me personally. It's always been through a company where they've been sponsored by the organization to go through the executive coaching process. And, you know, to be honest, Doug, most of the people most of the clients that I've had are excited about the process and, you know, see it as a real gift and an opportunity for them to enhance their leadership. The majority of the clients that I work with, most of them have gone on to have either moved into or about to move into a very large role where, you know, what I say, what has gotten them to where they are is not necessarily going to take them to where they need to go in this new role. And that's a real shift for people, you know, because they tend to be very tactical or can be very much into the details of what they used to do. And now they're being charged with how do I lead this team, enable them and empower them to be able to do what I used to do and focus on the strategic things of what's going to happen in terms of the direction of the business. And that's the primary shift of where I have been focusing on, just I think by happenstance of maybe by what's happened in terms of the, you know, the pandemic and what's going on. But the reality is that seems to be a real issue for leaders as they move into significant roles of greater responsibility.
Well, that's kind of interesting because you come into the company to work with their executives, and you know, does it ever make them feel a little nervous that, you know, they're being assigned an executive coach to work with? You know, maybe they need help. The company knows it. You know, how about that?
Well, I just want to piggyback on something you said earlier about making the call and feeling like, okay, I need help. Can you give me a hand?
Yeah.
What I have found
is that,
you know, exactly. Well, but even with the organization, I think a lot of it is how it's set up. And my experience has been, you know, that they really value and welcome the opportunity. You know, it is a space, particularly for senior leaders. You know, I mean, it sounds cliched, but it can be lonely in those roles because you don't have a lot of people that you can actually talk to and really understand kind of the dynamics of what you're dealing with. And to have somebody on the outside who is, you know, a big part of the coaching process is obviously the confidentiality piece. I mean, there's very, you know, I'm very strict about the guidelines in terms of how the engagement is going to unfold as I work with the companies as well as the clients. And the confidentiality is key. You know, they need to feel comfortable to be able to share, you know, what are their challenges and what are their fears and what are the things that could possibly be getting in their way in a space where it's safe, where they trust and they know that it's going to stay right there. And the only thing that I'm there to do is support them and to help them and to create the space for them to gain awareness on where are those opportunities for them to focus on, you know, helping to enhance their leadership or what are those blocks that are getting in their way and, you know, how do they want to go about removing them? That to me is the key part of it. So, you know, again, I think there was a time, certainly in my career, where executive coaching was not looked on as a positive or something that is a benefit to an employee. And I think that side has totally shifted. And I think that it is welcomed as a real valuable resource to, again, help executives, you know, engage in a way that typically they're not able to.
You know, that's really interesting because you're working with clients who, for the most part, don't know where they aren't, you know, where they aren't really proficient. Or I guess the best way to put it is they may not think they have a problem. And you've got to work with them and talk to them and feel them out to find how you can help them. Isn't that true? It's very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of times they'll come and there'll be a directive either from their boss or from the organization on the area where they want the executive to focus. Typically what I'll do in the process is do a 360, which is an interview process that I actually do in person. I don't do a survey or send it out, you know, via email or anything like that. I actually get the list from the client of the people that they want me to chat with, and it's a mix of obviously their boss or bosses if they have more than one, you know, a selection of peers that they interact with on a regular basis, and obviously their direct reports or team members. And, you know, it's really focused on, you know, where are they strong as a leader? Where are the things that when they show up as a really strong and effective leader, the qualities they demonstrate? So they continue to do that. And then where are their opportunities? If we were to focus on a couple of key areas, how could they even enhance their leadership in a more, you know, dynamic and effective way? And I compile that data. It's completely anonymous. And what I do is I put it into buckets. And that's how I deliver it back to the client. You know, the themes that have risen up from more than one or two people that are, you know, either, again, related to their strengths or their opportunities. And that becomes the baseline for where they want to focus, you know, to say, hey, you know, it could be something that, yeah, I've heard that before. That's something that's been a reoccurring theme in my career. Or, wow, that's something I've really never thought of. And how do they then interpret it? How do they then step back and say, okay, this is a perception. How do I want to show up? That's one of the things that I control is how I show up in any type of business or any given situation. How do I want to shift that so I can do that? And that's where it really becomes, you know, we start by setting their goals and objectives for the engagement to say, okay, what does success look like at the end of this? You know, how little things have shifted as a client, you know, through the virtue of working with me as an executive coach. And we put together metrics on how we're going to measure that. We have a goal setting meeting with obviously the client, their boss or bosses, and the HR representative to align on what our goals and objectives are for this coaching engagement. What are the metrics we're going to use to measure success? And then at the midpoint of the engagement, we do another meeting to check in and say, hey, are we on track? Are we seeing progress? Or do we need to refocus? And then we do the same thing at the end. And the second half of the engagement, Doug, I really focus with my clients on the self-coaching piece because I want them to start to learn how to gain those techniques when I'm no longer in the picture on how to step back, how to reflect, how to really think about how they want to, you know, show up and engage. And then at the end of the engagement, we do, you know, a check-in to say, okay, were we successful? And I think that's what I bring to it is, you know, I love people. I'm naturally curious. But I also have a real business head, and the organization's hiring me to work with this individual. I want to make sure they achieve their goals, and I want to make sure that we're successful in this endeavor. So it's a bit of kind of right brain, left brain in how I approach it.
That's great. How long do you typically work with a client? I mean, individuals who work with with clients, those engagements can last a long time, sometimes even more than a year. You know, how about the situation where you come into a company and you're working with specific executives, how much of an opportunity do you have to work with them and help them out? How long does it go?
So typically, a typical coaching engagement is 6 months, and I will meet with them for an hour a week every week for a six-month period. And, you know, obviously with vacations and things like that, it will stretch to maybe seven and a half months in some cases, depending on schedules and so forth. But I obviously want to give them the full 6 months of the time with me. And there have been situations where in one case where a client I was working with was moving to a new role at the end of our first engagement and was like, I've asked for me to continue to work with you. I hope you're free so we can continue working together as I take on this new role. So that can happen, you know, but I think that, you know, for the most part, it's a six-month engagement as far as from my experience and then with some that have been extended.
I would imagine, just the gut instinct is once they – start working with you, they really look forward to seeing you every time you come in. It's a blessing for them in a way. Am I right?
I hope so. I've gotten really great positive feedback, you know, from the clients that I've worked with. You know, I use the right brain, left brain, because I think it's pretty accurate. But, you know, I'm very direct with them. Again, I'm focused on the goals. You know, this is not a, you know, they drive it. It's their, you know, it's my role is to really help them, again, create that space. It's their meeting. It's whatever they want to focus on. But I make sure that we don't go so far off tangent that we're not focusing on what we're trying to achieve, you know, for the engagement as a whole. So I say to them, you know, they call it a chemistry check meeting where you meet the client for the first time to see if there's, you know, obviously chemistry between the two of you and the client wants to work with you as a coach. And, you know, I treat it like a coaching session, you know, because I want them to see the ROI of working with me, and it's paid off pretty well because, you know, for the most part, I book most of the potential clients that I get. But I am also very direct with them. And I say, look, here's how I work. You know, I want you to be successful. I want you to achieve the goals in this engagement. And there's going to be times, obviously with permission, where I'm going to be tough because that's where I need to make sure that we're getting done what you want to get done. And the reality is that they do the work, you know, and I say that to them. I go, you do the heavy lifting. My job is to keep you on track, to create the space for you, to engage with you, that's going to give you the thought-provoking sort of questions that maybe help you think of things in a different way. But at the end of the day, you're the one who's doing all the work, you know, and they have to be ready for that. And I have never had a client who hasn't been, you know, signed up and wanting to take on that kind of work.
Does it make any difference if you're working with people in an industry that you really don't know anything about? You know, I mean, you may be called in to work with somebody in a bank, you know, coaching executives in a bank, and then the next day it's a company that manufactures widgets somewhere in China or something like that. I mean, how important is it for you to know much about the company itself, or is it not important?
It's a great question. I mean, for me personally, you know, my sort of sweet spot is, you know, I've worked with, obviously, in the beauty space. I've worked in entertainment. I've worked in publishing. I've also worked with clients from insurance companies and from the medical field, which are very different. At the end of the day, people are people. And, you know, yes, I think culture of the company plays a role in sort of the dynamics, but that's not the major factor. The major factor is we all have the same, you know, goals. We have the same, we want to be successful. We have blocks that get in our way. We need to figure out the way to get through them. And, you know, I used to think that, it was very, you know, it's very different if you're working in this type of industry or not. From a coaching perspective, I don't see any difference. I really don't.
I think that's great. By the way, I want to point out, you have a really, really good website. It's BrittinghamConsultants.com. BrittinghamConsultants.com. And you'll see a lot of testimonials on your website, which are outstanding. People say great things about the opportunity to work with you. So congratulations, Scott. Obviously, you've helped a lot of people. Off the top of your head, give me one of your success stories, somebody who you started working with who you think it made a difference, you know, and they went on to better things. Well, how would you answer that?
Yeah, I mean, they're all very different, but there's one that absolutely comes to mind. It was a challenge for me for a couple of reasons. One, because it was a person who was coming from outside the U.S. And, you know, trying to integrate into the culture here in the U.S., which I think, you know, can be certainly a challenge of its own, and really trying to understand the cultural dynamics of what they were charged with. They were obviously moving into a very big role, and all eyes were on them, and you know, the transformation and the work this individual did to get to the place where they ultimately landed was phenomenal. And it was the feedback from his boss and from the other senior leaders, the HR person, couldn't have been better. And, you know, we still stay in touch. And I do that with most of my clients, like all my clients. If, you know, I've maintained the contact to reach out and check in and things like that. And it's I can't tell you how gratifying it is when somebody says to you, I was thinking of you, or you were in my head when I was in that moment. You know you've had an impact. And to me, that's the greatest gift.
No kidding. Wow. All right, let's focus for a couple of minutes on team coaching. What's the big difference between executive coaching and team coaching? How would you answer that?
So, you know, the team coaching aspect really is a complete, it's not a completely different skill set, but it definitely is a different skill set than one-on-one coaching. You know, you still have to create the safe space like you do in one-on-one coaching for the leaders to really feel comfortable in opening up. You know, what I have found, honestly, Doug, is that when I've had conversations about doing team coaching, the biggest essential is it truly a team? You know, or is it a team in name only, meaning you're a group of people that report to one executive, so therefore we call you a team? if you're not, if the actions and things that you do as an individual or as a unit aren't interconnected with your other team member, then the likelihood of team coaching being successful is very small. So they need to be a team that is a true sense of the word team. They also have to have a shared purpose, and it has to be bigger than, you know, what they could do on their own. And managing the dynamics, obviously, of the different personalities and the different nuances and being sensitive to what's happening in that space when you're working with the team is key. And that is something that, yes, you have that in one-on-one coaching, but it's even more dynamic, as you can imagine, with a team full of executives around the table.
Yeah. And how large would a group be typically when you're doing team coaching?
Team coaching, usually, I mean, I think a good number would be anywhere between, you know, 8 and 12 people. I mean, not more than that. It just gets to be too unruly.
Yeah, that's a lot of people. But I guess everybody has a chance to learn from you when you're working with a team. But I would assume that in a team situation, they don't open up about what they're really concerned or worried about themselves. I don't know. Maybe they do. Do they? How about that?
Well, you know, again, it goes back to creating that space where they feel,
right,
you know, that they are comfortable being able to open up. And again, the participation they have and what they're doing in their role impacts the others. And there's a connection there. There's a commitment there. That's where the purpose piece comes in, which is so essential. Because if you don't have that, then again, you're only fighting for yourself. And there's no skin in the game to open up and be more vulnerable, you know?
No kidding. Wow, that's very good. I got to ask you, do you feel that your experience in the world of acting has helped you in this world? I got to believe that it has. Am I right?
100%. Well, I was working in corporate. Absolutely. There were moments where, again, it comes back to the curiosity about people and what drives them and what motivates them. But, yeah, absolutely. There are many moments where I'd be like, okay, it's a step back. I could totally draw from this experience that I had as an actor to help influence or change the direction of where things were going. So, absolutely.
You know, you sound like you really love what you do. I mean, you're into this. I've got to be right? I mean, you could have been in Hollywood and acting, you know, but, man, you're a star where you are. How about that?
Well, I appreciate that, and you're absolutely right. I am super passionate. Every time I get off the call, and this is no lie, I get up and I love what I do. Because I loved what I did when I worked in corporate. It was an amazing experience, and it gave me so many tools and so much knowledge. But to really work one-on-one with people and with teams, to be able to help them achieve what they want to achieve, there's no greater satisfaction for me. It's very exciting, and to be able to do this at this stage of my life has been a real gift.
I just say I'm so glad we've had the opportunity to talk with you. I was just thinking, you know, because of the pandemic, so much of what you do or did has been virtual. Have you been working with teams on a virtual basis or in person? I guess you had to do it virtually, right?
Yeah, we did. I have done it. It's very tough.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a whole nuanced skill set to being able to manage that. But yeah, it is quite the challenge. I'm looking forward to being able to hopefully very shortly being able to engage more in person, because it definitely changes the game.
Yeah. Well, I definitely understand that. Scott, it's been great chatting with you. We could go for another half hour at least, but we've run out of time for this show. Our guest has been Scott Brettingham. He's based in Chichester, New York, up in the Catskills. But his company and his firm is Brettingham Executive Consultants, where he helps leaders become true, authentic leaders that they want to be. BrettinghamConsultants.com. That's his website, BrettinghamConsultants.com. Check him out. And that website is really great. Scott, thanks for your time. It's been great chatting with you. All right, good luck to you. I've enjoyed
chatting. Thank you, Doug.
Thank you.
I appreciate the time.
Okay. Well, that's it, everybody. I think that was a fascinating hour or a half hour with Scott Brettingham of Brettingham Consultants. That's it. Have a great day. See you next time.
Listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.